here. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6 is we're going to start today. So we're in this study in 2 Peter. And last week, Pete was kind of talking about, the Old Testament prophets prophesied about the Messiah. And looky here, Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Everything the Old Testament prophets said about this Messiah, Jesus Christ fulfilled. And then Peter's like, not only that, I saw with my own eyes. I was on the mountain of transfiguration, and I saw, and I heard the voice of God the Father say, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." I saw him transformed right before my very eyes. I saw him walk on the water. I saw the risen Jesus Christ. This is Peter talking about Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Amen. That's something to get excited about right there, that you belong to Jesus Christ. And I really, really hope that you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's not a fable. It's not a fairy tale. He changes lives and he saves souls. And he's doing it right now. So do not leave this church service if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Let's do that today. Tomorrow is not promised to you. Okay, it's not promised to anybody. All right? You want to accept Jesus Christ. Anyways, moving forward, Peter began to talk about, and in the Old Testament, not only was there godly prophets, but there was false prophets. These people that would manipulate things for their own advantage, to mislead people, to fill their pockets, to do all sorts of evil things, to get what they want out of people. And he said, in this church age, you're going to have false prophets too. You're going to have people that are going to manipulate Scripture, people that are going to try and take away from the deity of Jesus Christ for their own selfish ambitions, to mislead people, just out of pure evilness. Okay, so that's where we're at. Just like there was false prophets in the old day, there are false prophets today. Okay? So anyways, 2 Peter 2 and verse 6. If by turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to ashes, he condemned them to extinction, making them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly. Okay? Now, some folks, we love to read about Sodom and Gomorrah because we know about Sodom. We know about one of the sins that was running rampant around there, and that homosexuality was just going crazy around there, and we like to get on our pedestal and condemn and judge people that are struggling and battling homosexuality. Listen to me real fast. Okay, I don't want to camp on this, but let's address it real fast. Okay, homosexuality, it's a sin, all right? It is a sin, but none of us are perfect. We all struggle with things that we have to give to the Lord. Amen? So let's not act like we're better than anybody else. If somebody is battling or even giving into a temptation that is completely alien to us, and we're like, oh, that's nasty, I would never do that. Well, maybe you wouldn't, but you know, we're all battling things that are not pleasing to God. All of us. Okay, so anyways, and we want to show the world the love of Jesus Christ. Well, does that mean I don't have to tell them the truth? No, we have to share the truth. We have to give the gospel. We have to. But we do it in love. Amen? Not on our high horse like we're better than somebody else, because we're not. We're not better than anybody else. We just belong to a risen Savior who is amazing. Amen? Can I get a witness? If by turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to ashes, he condemned them to extinction, making them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly. The ungodly. We're talking about anybody. You want to talk about the ungodly? Anybody that refuses to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Anybody that rejects that precious gift. Guess what? You are an enemy of Jesus Christ. That's kind of harsh, but that's how it is. Does that make sense? Yeah, it's tight. That's right, Brother Rick. It's tight, but I haven't heard that in a long time. Listen, okay. Go with me to Revelation 21. Don't turn there, but I think we have it on the slides. Go to Revelation 21 real fast. Revelation 21 and verse 8. Making them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly. So, listen, those that do not accept Jesus Christ, listen up, unbeliever, listen up, scoffer, listen up. Anybody that does not want to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, I love you. I love you, and just listen up, okay? Revelation 21 and verse 8. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for the murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Okay, so what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah is a picture of what's going to happen to everybody, not just the homosexuals, okay? And you know what? There's homosexuals that battle with that sort of thing, that battle with that, but they love Jesus Christ and God's working on them. You know what I mean? So we need to, I know I harp on that, man, but I don't want us to be a condemning, judging bunch of folks, man. I don't. I want us to show the world the love of Jesus. You know what I mean? There's people that are struggling with all kinds of sin that love Jesus Christ. Can I get a witness? Yeah. Now, I'm talking about, this is a picture of what's going to happen to anybody and everybody that rejects Jesus Christ right here. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters. Hey, man, I used to do that before I was saved. Well, thank goodness you don't do it anymore. Well, I kind of battle with that stuff now. Repent, turn from it. Get away from it. You know what I mean? Okay. More of God, less of myself. Can I get a witness? And all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire. Man, that doesn't sound good at all. So when God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, they're not going to ever find, you know, any relics from ancient Sodom or Gomorrah. You know what I mean? Archaeologists are all the time digging up awesome stuff that backs up the Bible. All the time. Proving the Bible more and more accurate every single day with the stuff they're finding. Scientists will be like, oh, those people never existed. And then all of a sudden, oh, look, what they, you know. They're finding stuff all the time. The Bible's real. God is real. Tell the truth. Shame the devil. But no one's ever going to be like, look, here's the welcome sign to Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, that's not going to happen, man, because that junk got destroyed, man, demolished. Okay, listen, the ungodly. I'm not talking about just murderers. Okay, they're in there too, but I'm talking about the people that just said, you know what, I don't need no Jesus Christ. I'm going to find salvation on my own. I'm a good person. No, you're not. Not compared to Jesus Christ. You're not. Okay, and that's the standard. So this is a picture of God's judgment. We see this with Sodom and Gomorrah. Amen. Okay, tell the truth. Shame the devil. Revelation 20 and verse 15. Check that one out. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, are you glad this morning that your name's in the book of life? If you don't have any more good news all day today, man, listen, if your name's in the book of life, you're having a pretty good day. You're having a real good day. All right? And if your name is not written in the book of life, you can have an amazing day today. You can just accept Jesus Christ. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. So, you know, there's a lot in Scripture written about eternal damnation. There's a lot in Scripture written about hell. There's actually more written about hell than there is about heaven. You know what I mean? I think one of those reasons is our mind, it's a little hard for our little finite ability. I don't think we can quite wrap around how awesome heaven is. You know what I mean? And the stuff that is in there about heaven is awesome and amazing, and we need to be excited about that. But man, there's some awful vivid pictures of what awaits those who refuse to accept Jesus Christ. And I know we can all sit back and say, woo, I missed that one. Thank you, Jesus, I accepted you. You know what I mean? But what about your neighbor? What about your friends? What about your family? I got people in my life that I know haven't done that yet. So let us think about that. Let that be a burden to us, a Christ-like burden, to do what we can to lead those people, you know, to the foot of the cross by the way we live and so on and so forth. Amen. Can I get a witness? If by turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to ashes, he condemned them to extinction, it's gone, man. They can't find anything to do with Sodom and Gomorrah. Some people say it might be where the Dead Sea is. I'm not, never mind. I don't care. You ain't going to find it. Making them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly. Okay. Well, what did he do to Sodom and Gomorrah? Genesis 19:24. Then the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah sulfur and fire from the Lord out of heaven. Had to be a sight to see, right? Well, that's what's awaiting. That's just a little tidbit of what's awaiting anybody and everybody that does not accept Jesus Christ. So let's make sure we do what we can do. Listen to the Holy Spirit, and let's be that light to a lost and dying world. Amen. All right. Thank you, Jesus. I want to go to 2 Peter 2, verse 7. And if he rescued righteous Lot, greatly distressed by the sensual conduct of the wicked, for as the righteous man lived among them day after day, he was tormenting his righteous soul over their lawless deeds that he saw and heard. Okay, so maybe you guys don't remember this from Sunday school. Maybe you don't really know about this Lot guy. Maybe you don't know a lot about Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay, but here's this cat named Lot. He was kin to Abraham. And Lot goes off to make his living out towards Sodom and Gomorrah way. So he sets up camp in Sodom and Gomorrah. And this is his place, man. And so Lot was a godly dude. Perfect? Not at all. Parent of the year? Nope. No. He did some crazy stuff, man. But he loved the Lord. Okay? So we're not perfect people, but we want more of God in our life and less of ourselves. Amen? God knows who are his, and God takes care of who are his. All right? You know what I'm saying? So Lot, righteous guy, loved the Lord, living in a bad, crazy place where a lot of bad stuff was going on. Well, how bad and crazy was it? Well, it was pretty bad and pretty crazy. Matter of fact, when God had decided that he was going to judge Sodom and Gomorrah as an example to us of what that final judgment is going to look like for so many, he dispatched a couple of angels to go get Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah and get Lot's family. Okay, so as these angels walk into town, you know, angels, you know, I reckon pretty handsome folks, you know what I mean? The guys around Sodom and Gomorrah thought they were awful handsome, you know? So anyways, these angels are coming into town. They come to get Lot, and all the townsfolk, man, they were so just depraved and involved in sin that they went to Lot's house like, hey, those dudes, those handsome guys, man, send them out so we can do stuff to them. so we can date them. Not really. And Lot's like, no, man, no, we can't do that. And Lot stands up for him, and Lot does something really stupid and crazy, okay? I'm not going to get into that, but read it. It's very interesting. Lot was not father of the year at all. He'll never get that. I'm sure that was. Anyways, it doesn't matter. These guys were pretty messed up cats, man, okay? They were given into this temptation big time, and they wanted these angels. And so the angels blind them, and Lot and his family, they escape, and God rains down fire and sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah. Picture of God's judgment, okay? God knows who are his, and God knows who are not his. Amen? And if he rescued righteous Lot, not perfect Lot, not father of the year Lot, not put in $1,000 in the offering plate, so I'm cool with whatever he does, Lot. And if he rescued righteous Lot, greatly distressed by the sensual conduct of the wicked, this stuff was breaking Lot's heart, man. And I believe Lot was a little upset that he decided to set up tent here in the first place. He set his tent up here in the first place. You know what I mean? But here he is. This is where his life is and all that. God knows who are his. God comes and gets him. For as the righteous man lived among them day after day, he was tormenting his righteous soul over their lawless deeds that he saw and heard. Does God take care of his own? All day long, man. I know some of you are going through some crazy stuff. I know I say that every week. I wish we would all get our acts together, and I wish nobody was in here going through crazy stuff. But you know what? We live in this world, man. We live in this crazy world, and it's not anybody's fault, man. You know, the effects of sin just randomly touch us like raindrops, man. We live in this messed up place. But don't, you know what? We're not alone. We got one another, and no matter what, we got the Most High God. You know, right here in the middle of all that sin, man, in that craziness of all these people that wanted nothing to do with the one true God, God saw, there's mine. He belongs to me. I'm not going to do anything until I get him out of there. Amen. Can I get a witness? Isaiah 46, right there. Isaiah 46, 4. This is so good. I will be your God throughout your lifetime. That's pretty cool. That's cool. So it's not like your insurance that can drop you when you start getting a little expensive there. You know what I mean? It's not like, you know, you're not cool anymore, so the cool kids don't want to come over to your house anymore. You know, it's not like that, man. When you belong to the Lord, you are His. I will be your God throughout your lifetime until your hair is white with age. Is that anybody in here getting close to anybody? Anybody got anything going on? Okay. I will be your God throughout your lifetime until your hair is white with age. I made you. Look at that, man. You are my responsibility. You are mine. I made you. I created you. Okay. You're a new creation in Christ. You are in my family. You've been grafted into my family. You are mine. You are my responsibility. Amen. I made you and I will care for you. Isn't that cool? Isn't that awesome, man? No matter what's going on. Well, my life's pretty messed up. Yeah, but God's right there, man. God's right there. And he says, hey, you know what? Run into my arms, man. Let's go through this together. I know the water's getting deep, but it's going to be all right. Okay, I made you, and I will care for you. I will carry you along and save you. Hey, man, what an awesome verse. If you've ever felt so weak and so weary, like, man, I just can't do this anymore. I'm just going to go to the church late at night and pour some gasoline on it, let it go. And well, don't tell me y'all never thought about that. Oh, never mind. Never mind. No, I have, well, listen, man. Never mind. It's all good. It's man, praise was awesome today, wasn't it? Well, woo. My goodness. All right. Somebody help me out here. And I made you and I will care for you. I will carry you. Look, man, I'm worn out, man. I just can't do it anymore. God's like, footprints in the sand. He held me in his hands. He's holding us, man. He's carrying us. He's not going to let us go. That's good news, man. I will carry you along and save you. Man, if we don't remember nothing else, man, remember that. I'm God's kid. He cares for me. He's not going to leave me. Okay? Yeah, I know it's getting heavy. I know it's getting crazy. But God's right there with us. Amen? Verse 5. To whom will you compare me? Who can you compare him to? Because in context of what Peter's talking about, well, that's Isaiah. But Pete's talking about, man, these false prophets, man, who are pulling their strength from somewhere else, man. And that's always a trap. Okay? But God doesn't set you up. Amen. God doesn't want to manipulate you. God doesn't want to use you. God tells you exactly how it is. God doesn't keep God tells you right there in the scripture, okay, life can be pretty hard, and you accept me as your Lord and Savior, that ain't going to be no cakewalk, baby, but I'm going to be with you, and we're going to get through to the other side, and it's going to get real good, and I'll meet your needs. Can I get a witness? Yeah. All right. To whom will you compare me? False God? False God, a demon? They ain't going to help you out. They're going to trick you. To whom will you compare me? Who is my equal? Who's God's equal? Nope. Nobody, man. Aren't we just super cool? You know what I mean? Isn't that awesome that we belong to God, the one true God, the real God? You ain't got nothing else going on for you. You got that. And that's awesome. Okay, anyways, 2 Peter 2 and verse 9. Is everybody okay? 2 Peter 2 and verse 9. Then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials. Is that true? Is that true? Last week, Peter was going through a list. Hey, God judged the whole world and he took care of Noah. God judged Sodom and Gomorrah and he took care of Lot. Okay, whatever you're going through, God knows what you're going through and he's not going to give you more than you can handle, right? And I'm fond of saying this, but it's so true. He does give us more than we can handle, but it's so we run into his arms where we can do all things. You know what I mean? Okay, that wasn't horrible preaching, so you can give the Lord some praise. All right. Then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to keep the unrighteous, here we go, and to keep the unrighteous under punishment until the day of judgment. You ever get a little discouraged? You're like, man, this world's going to hell in a handbasket, man. This stuff's getting bad. It's getting crazy. I don't know how this stuff's going to end. First of all, we know how it's going to end. We win. We belong to the winning side. You know what I mean? And things do get a little crazy, and sometimes it looks like Satan might be pulling one off. Satan might win there. Nope. He ain't going to win. You know what I mean? So let us not grow weary in doing good. Let us not be discouraged. Let us understand this, man, that those that reject Jesus Christ, we need to have a burden for them, man, a Christ-like burden. Even the people that have done you wrong, man, even the people that don't deserve it, can I get a witness? I know that stinks, man, but it's the Scripture, and that's what we're supposed to do, and God will, we're supposed to love our enemy. We're supposed to pray for our enemy. And that goes against how we're wired, man. But you know what? We're not that person anymore. We're a new creation. Amen? And Jesus Christ has forgiven us, and we better forgive others, and we better pray for those and try and live a godly life and be a witness to those that are perishing. Amen? And if he rescued righteous Lot, greatly distressed, I already read that, 2 Peter 2 and verse 9, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to keep the unrighteous under punishment until the day of judgment. There will be a day of judgment. And it's closer than it ever was before. Amen. Okay, I want to read 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. That is actually not on your bulletin or on your monitor, but I do want to read it. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13. Don't turn there. You can make a note of it if you want to. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. First of all, most of us don't really feel like that sometimes. You're like, man, this is what I'm going through is so unique that nobody would be able to get the victory over this. It's not like that at all, man. There's nothing new under the sun. There are people just like us struggling with the same types of things, same type of temptations, same types of trials, and they've gotten victory over it by leaning and trusting on the Most High God. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. Underline that part, man. That is so true. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. That's a true statement, man. God's not going to give us more than we can handle. We already kind of touched on that. You know, God's not going to hold you down and say, you must commit this sin. You must do this sin. He's not going to do that. If you're ever tempted, and we all are tempted, we're all led by our own selfish, stupid desires to get in all kinds of mess. You know what I mean? We can take the devil out of the picture. We get in plenty of trouble all by ourselves. You know what I mean? So anyways, we got these temptations. We got these things going on. We don't have to give in to them. Don't. Not Christians don't, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You know what I mean? I can say no. I can be like a Nancy Reagan and just say no all day long. No, most of y'all don't. Y'all are all older than me. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, I was busy raising a family while you're watching Nancy Reagan. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience, and God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. Isn't that awesome? God's like, yeah, I know this is tough, man. Don't give in. Here's the back door. Come on, go, let's go, 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 go. Come on. No. We don't have to give in to that stuff, okay? Isaiah 43 and verse 2. You do have that on your monitor. When you pass through the waters, this is one of my faves, man. God knows how to deliver his people, okay? He's not going to leave you or forsake you. Is that true? Yes, it's true. Whoop-de-doo. Isaiah 43 and verse 2. When you pass through the waters, I love it. We're going through. Sometimes we got to get to the other side. We're like, I don't know how I'm going to do this. Well, God's going to be with me. Amen? Remember, I'm weak. When I'm weak, God makes me strong. I can do all things through Christ. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Isn't that awesome? Not Joe Bill, not Aunt Bertha, God. They might be along for the ride, but God is with us. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. Isn't that beautiful? Sometimes, man, we feel like life is about just to take us down river, man. You know what I mean? This is too big for me. It is too big for you, but not too big for God. They will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Isn't that cool? The flames will not set you ablaze. It's getting awful hot in here. Oh, man. That reminds me of a story. I'm not going to get into it. Yeah, I'm not going to say that. And, it's, you know, anyways, God is faithful. Let's move forward. Okay. 2 Peter 2 and verse 9. Yeah, there we go. Enjoy some of this water. Let me see. I feel like I'm going kind of long already. Yeah. 30 minutes already. I bet to you guys it feels like we just started. Because I know how you guys are, you students of the word. You're like, man, I can't wait. No, no, get going. Okay, anyways, I'll try and wrap this up. This is so important, man. Y'all are putting me under so much pressure. 2 Peter 2 and verse 9. Then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials. We know he does. And to keep the unrighteous under punishment until the day of judgment. Okay, Matthew 25 and verse 46. And these will go away into eternal punishment. That might be my car. I'm sure. That might be the in the office somewhere. I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't even think it's my car. Anyways, let's talk about Jesus. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So does God know how to deliver his people? One more time. He will do the separating. Well, does that mean there could be people that don't love Jesus? People that are faking right now here in church? Yeah, that's very possible. You know what I mean? That's very possible that there are people in here that don't love Jesus, don't plan on loving Jesus. They're just here. There might be people here, I don't think, but I don't know. There could be people here for really bad, crazy reasons right now. You know what I mean? But God will do the separating. You know what I mean? We need to do the loving. We need to tell the truth. Can I get a witness? And these will go away into eternal punishment. So not little bitty punishment. Not like some of these fake false religions where like, yeah, man, you just go to sleep. That doesn't even sound bad to me. That sounds all right. You know what I mean? That sounds, but that, man, heaven is way better than that. And what kind of eternal judgment would that be? Well, you just kind of go to sleep forever. And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. That's what we got waiting for us, man. Eternal life. And it ain't going to be boring. It's going to be super awesome, super rad. Will we be able to eat food? Probably. It's going to be awesome. You can eat food and not gain any weight or get sleepy. It's going to be awesome, however it is. Okay. Then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to keep the unrighteous under punishment. Under punishment until that day of judgment. Matthew 25, verse 41. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. There's a lot about hell in the scriptures, man. And see, here's the thing, man. Hell was never made for us. It was made for Satan and his minions, man. But you know what? If you don't accept Jesus Christ, and it's as simple as that, rejecting Jesus Christ, you don't have to be an axe murderer. You don't have to be an axe murderer. Does that make sense? You just deny that precious gift. You say, I don't need Jesus. Okay. We need to watch that. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into eternal fire. Hebrews 9:27. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment. That's scripture right there, guys. If you're hearing this message, if you hear this message right now, you still have time to accept Jesus Christ. You still can do it. Don't put it off another day. I don't know who's saved in here and who isn't. Okay? But I'm saying if you haven't made that decision, do it today. Do it now. Do it right now. Come on up here. Rush the stage. I mean, don't rush the stage. But come on up here, ma'am. Okay. Okay. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment. If you're hearing this, man, it's not too late. Don't put it off. Verse 10. And especially those who indulge in the lust of defiling passion and despise authority, bold and willful, they do not tremble as they blaspheme the glorious ones. Does the Lord know how to take care of his own? Yes. Does the Lord have a time of judgment for those that have rejected him? Yes. And God has a special interest in those that mislead others, man. Those false prophets, man. Those people that aren't content with just going on to eternal damnation themselves, but they want to scoop up other folks with them, man. God's got his eye on that. Nothing gets by him. You know what I mean? And especially those who indulge in the lust of defiling passion. They just do whatever they want to do. And despise authority. They have no respect for God, for the Trinity, for God's spiritual authority. None of that's right out the window, man. I'm about my thing. I'm about getting what I want, and I'm going to do what I want to get what I want. Despise authority, bold and willful. They do not tremble as they blaspheme the glorious ones. Arrogant. Arrogant, man. That's what I'm getting out of that. Arrogant folks rejecting Jesus, rejecting God, manipulating folks, being false prophets, doing what they want to do to mislead people for their own selfish gain. Amen? And they do, as they blaspheme the glorious ones, and that's not just talking about talking bad about Jesus Christ or the Godhead. That's talking about some crazy stuff, man, that can go right over our heads, man. That's talking about people. Okay, let me see if I can do this right. You're going to get, there's only two ways you're going to get some sort of power outside of yourself. It's either going to be satanic, amen? It's either going to be satanic or it's going to be from the Most High God. And some people, these false prophets, these false teachers, are messing with stuff. They have no idea what they're dabbling with. There are different levels of demonic powers, just like there's different levels of angels and stuff like that. Like there's the Prince of Persia that rules over certain areas. There's different demons that rule over different areas. And people are messing with stuff. These false prophets, these false teachers, they're messing with stuff. They don't have a clue with what they're doing. You know what I mean? And when you mess with this stuff, you better understand, okay, Satan will play with you for a little while. Satan will pull you in trying to trap you. And you got to watch out, because when you mess with Satan, there's always a payday. It's like, I heard this story, or I read this story. I can't remember where. It was pretty interesting. I thought about it last night. And it was this dude, man. I think he was in England. And he had one of them snakes. One of them big old strangling type snakes. You know, that people like to walk around with. Like, look at my big strangling type snake. It's all wrapped around me, but I'm okay. You know. And he fell asleep, and the cage was open or something. The thing that he thought was his little pet strangled him to death in his sleep. I mean, I'm sure he woke up sometime, but it was like too late. You know what I mean? Okay, man, when we're messing around with Satan, okay, there's always a payday, bro. You think you can handle something? You're not handling nothing, man. You've been set up. Like the kids doing the Ouija board and all that, man. Man, we mess with stuff that we don't understand, you're going to get in a bad place. You know what I'm saying? So these false prophets messing with demonic stuff, not understanding what in the world they're messing with, thinking that they're doing something cool, man, they've been set up, and there's going to be a payday. Can I get a witness? Okay. And especially those who indulge in the lust of defiling passion and despise authority, bold and willful, they do not tremble as they blaspheme the glorious ones. Matter of fact, this you will not find on your monitor either. I'm going to go through it real fast. Acts 19, so the seven sons of Sceva, I think I'm saying that right. But these guys, they thought they had a cool thing going on, man. They thought they were casting out demons. And it looks like it was kind of working out for them for a little while. For some reason, they thought it was going all right. That's what I'm talking about, man. Satan will set you up. And there's always a payday, okay? We got to make sure that we understand the spiritual stuff. Amen? Seven sons of Sceva, a leading priest, the seven sons of this leading priest were doing this. They were casting out demons, or they thought they were casting out demons. But one time, when they tried it, the evil spirit replied, I know Jesus. Man, ooh, that's scary, isn't it? Imagine if you're trying, these dudes are trying to cast out this demon out of this guy, and this demon-possessed dude's like, hey, man, I know Jesus, and I know Paul, but I don't know you. Man, that would be so freaky, wouldn't it? Because that's what they were doing. They were like, in the name of Jesus, who Paul preaches, we command you, demon, to leave. That's paraphrased. But one time, when they tried it, the evil spirit replied, I know Jesus, and I know Paul, but who are you? Man, if that was the end of it, man, that would be super creepy and scary. You know what I mean? Whoa, game over, dude. I'm going back to plumbing. You know? Yeah, but that's not the end of it, okay? Verse 16, then the man with the evil spirit leaped on them, overpowered them, and attacked them with such violence that they fled from the house. And that'd be bad right there too, man. The demon just beat me and my seven brothers up because we were messing with stuff that we didn't understand. We just thought it was something cool. You know what I mean? Messing with stuff we had no clue what was going on. And this demon beat us up. That'd be pretty bad, right? But what about this? You got to run through town butt naked. You know what I mean? You didn't just get beat up, dude. That's a bad fight, by the way. When a demon possessed dude beats you and six other people up so bad that ain't nobody got no clothes on and you're running away. That's bad. All right? You got to know what you're doing, man. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Leaped on them, overpowered them, and attacked them with such violence. How violent was it? That they fled from the house naked and battered. That's crazy, man. These false prophets are messing with stuff that they don't even know what they're doing. They don't have the authority to mess with this stuff. They might be deceived thinking they've got some sort of power through these demons, through this stuff, and it's all just manipulation where they're gonna get it in the end. And hopefully, through Satan, Satan wants them to mislead a whole bunch of other people. You know what I mean? But when you're messing with these demons and stuff, whether they know it or not, man, when you mess with that stuff, you open yourself up, man, to spiritual demonic attack. That's the real point I'm trying to make, man. You can't mess with that stuff, okay? Well, what about me as a Christian? You better know that you've been called to do it. You better know, okay? You have the authority through Jesus Christ to cast out demons, but you better know that you know who you are in Jesus Christ before you go doing something like that. You know what I mean? Anyways, is everyone all right? Can I get y'all a biscuit? 2 Peter 2 and verse 11, and we're really wrapping things up here. 2 Peter 2 and verse 11. Whereas angels, though greater, okay, last verse, these manipulators, these false prophets, these guys are messing with stuff they don't understand, and they're going to bring a bunch of bad, crazy stuff on themselves and you if you tag along with them. You don't mess with demons. You don't mess with that stuff because there will be a payday unless you're a Christian and you're doing it through the authority that Jesus Christ has given you. Amen. Anything else is a trip, is a trap, is a trap, not a trip. Okay. Okay, now, let's look at this real fast. 2 Peter 2:11. Whereas angels, talking about godly angels now, not fallen angels. Whereas angels, though greater than who? Greater than man, okay? Angels understand something that we need to understand, that there is a thing called spiritual authority, okay? And that demons have control over certain areas. They don't have control over us. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. But we need to understand what we're dealing with, and don't expect the ungodly to know what they're dealing with because they don't have a clue. You know what I mean? I hope I haven't lost everybody. I don't know. I'm getting excited. 2 Peter 2 and verse 11. Whereas angels, though greater in might and power, angels are stronger than us, didn't know that, in might and power, do not pronounce a blasphemous judgment against them before the Lord. Okay. So false prophets, crazy folks are going to mess with stuff they don't understand. Angels understand the spiritual authority thing, and they're going to report the facts to God. They're going to do what God tells them to do. You know what I mean? And this, we're talking about archangels here, man. We're talking about the big guys. Okay, there's different levels of angels, just like there's different levels of demons. Real fast. Oh, man, I just need to hurry up here. Jude 9. Look real fast. Jude 9 and 10. But even the archangel Michael, this is the super ninja angel, man. The archangel Michael, he is the big guy that comes out to take care of stuff. He's battled the prince of Persia and Daniel. Read all that stuff. This is a super strong, mighty angel. One time Gabriel was trying to get a message to Daniel. This is in the Old Testament. And Michael, the archangel, had to be dispatched to help him deal with the prince of Persia, that demon, that demonic angel, so the message could get to Daniel. Okay, so there's all kinds of stuff going on in the spirit world that the unbeliever and the false prophet, they don't have a clue what they're messing with. Okay? And this is real stuff, man. All right? And this isn't meant to scare you. We just need to understand, man, that when I deal with this stuff, I deal with it through Jesus Christ. I deal with it through Jesus Christ. I have no power on my own to deal with this sort of stuff. I'm going to get myself in a lot of bad trouble. Okay? Jude 9 and 10. But even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses. What? What? And read Jude. That's a really peculiar, interesting thing. It doesn't go in a lot of detail what's exactly going on here. But there's a dispute over Moses' body. And everybody's got opinions on it. Doesn't matter. I just want to talk about what the Bible says. And the Bible doesn't get into very... The Bible isn't clear about what exactly is going on here with the body of Moses. But even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, listen, this is what the angel did. He did not himself dare to condemn him for slander, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." That is so important. Archangel Michael dealing with Satan over the body of Moses. Archangel Michael, he said, "You know what? I'm going to hold my peace. I'm going to let the Lord fight my battles." You know what I mean? I give it to the Lord. I understand how this authority thing works. Okay? I'm not getting out of line. I'm giving it to God. Okay? So whatever your problems are, however big they might be and how crazy they are, you can't handle them on your own, but you can through Jesus. So lay your burdens down at his feet. Give it to him. Don't get in the flesh when someone's done you wrong. Don't do anything stupid. Don't pay him back. God says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." Give it to God, because God knows what to do with it. You're going to cast your cares upon him. Amen? But even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not himself dare to condemn him for slander, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." Yet these people talk. This is Jude, and he's actually talking about what Peter's talking about too, about these false prophets, man. They're messing with stuff. They don't have a clue, man. Okay, you don't mess with the supernatural stuff thinking Satan's going to give you some sort of powers. Or I've seen crazy nut folks, man, say, "Give me all your demons. I want all the demons." Woo! Mm-mm. Buddy, that ain't going to turn out nothing good for you. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. These folks don't understand what they're messing with, man. All right. Yet these people slander whatever they do not understand. And the very things they do understand by instinct as irrational animals do, will destroy them. So you want to mess around with this stuff, man? It ain't going to lead you to no place good. Talking about these false prophets, these false teachers, these manipulators, these guys that try and mislead people for their own selfish gain, who say they can offer you all kinds of stuff and another way around this to get into eternity, you better jump back. There's only one way to the Father. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. We love you. We praise you, Lord. Your will be done in this congregation. Thank you for blessing Miss Wilda, Lord. Thank you for meeting her needs, Father God. Thank you for healing her body, Lord. Thank you for being with Faye's daddy and Miss Rita, Lord. Bless this congregation. Heal our hurts. Restore our relationships, Lord. Just show us how much. Just, Father God, thank you that you're going to heal our rejections, Lord. Thank you, Father God, for your healing power, Lord. We love you. We praise you. Your will be done. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. Amen. So next Sunday, Josh, what time are you starting the pancake breakfast? 10:30? 10:30, be here for pancakes next Sunday. It'll be a real treat. And men's Bible study.